Morning, everyone. Today's reading is from James chapter 5, verses 13 to 18. It's up there and it's in page 1216 in the Blue Bibles. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you ill? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced crops. This is the word of the Lord.
Lord Jesus, we long to hear what you are saying to us today. We thank you for this whole series in which we are hearing from you about how you have already equipped us and what you've gifted us with that we can use in our lives so that we know more of your strength, more of your victory over the small things and the big things that come up. And Lord, we pray today that we would continue to hear what you're saying, that you would speak powerfully about what's on your heart for us today. Amen. So today the topic is authority and anointing. Whew, this is exciting and important stuff, and feels quite scary. But let's really hear Jesus and ignore anything that comes from me. Thank you, Christy. Spiritual warfare, we've covered it already, is often thought of as an even battle. We can face things and think, oh, you know, am I going to win? We tackled this right at the beginning of the series, but quite often I forget it. And if I forget it, I'm sure you do as well. But we already are on the side which is victorious. We already are engaging with a defeated enemy. Jesus has already won. And do you know what? Even before he died on the cross, even before he was raised to new life, he was able to speak with authority, and his disciples were able to speak with authority, and the demons obeyed them. So it wasn't even like the cross was a moment when the battle suddenly was kind of completely and utterly changed. It was the moment of complete and utter victory. But Jesus already had authority over the spirits. He gives us his authority to engage in the spiritual battle, which is ongoing. We need to operate in our spiritual lives, in our prayer lives, in our ordinary day-to-day living, from a spirit of sonship. Especially important on days like today. Jesus was so close to the Heavenly Father that he knew exactly what each step of every single day should be. He knew where to go. He knew who to speak to. He knew what to pray for. Because he always knew what the good, pleasing, and perfect will of our Heavenly Father was. And it was this closeness to God the Father that enabled him to speak with such authority. And he gives us that same authority, just like Elijah, who again was before the cross. It is our relationship with God that gives us this authority. And we believe that as we grow in our relationship with God, as we become more aware of what he is saying, what he wants to do through us, then we also will be empowered by the Holy Spirit to do miraculous things. Would that be cool? So, What does authority look like? If we look at Jesus, he spoke with authority, he prayed with authority. People around him recognized the authority in him, even when they didn't actually like what he was saying. The crowds responded to his authority. But he wasn't there shouting, unless you count the overturning of the temple tables. It wasn't a shouty kind of authority. It wasn't oppressive. It wasn't controlling. It wasn't domineering. Jesus' authority was humble truth. He simply knew what the Father was saying, and he let the Holy Spirit guide him to the people and the places that were on God's heart. Jesus was not speaking with the authority of God himself, which of course he was God. He was operating in his humanity. Throughout his ministry, Jesus speaks with authority that is a human authority that comes from being close to God, not as God himself. Jesus was able to align himself with God's will and to pray for spirit-empowered miracles, which came. He then trained up his disciples, all 12 of them, and beyond that, there were more, 42 that Jesus sent out, 72 that Jesus sent out. Many, many disciples. It wasn't just the apostles, it was all of his disciples and followers. He trained them up so that they would know from his teaching what to speak about. So they would know from his way of praying how to pray. He sent them in twos into the towns and villages around Galilee and the rest of the northern kingdom and Judea. He sent them out to do the same things that he had been doing. And when they came back, they were ecstatic. Jesus, Jesus, we prayed for people and the demons submitted to us in your name. They continued to operate in his authority, in order to continue his work. And so when we talk about authority, we first acknowledge that it's the authority of Jesus which he has given to us as his disciples, that he is still doing a work of training up disciples, that we watch how he lived, how he spoke, what he taught, how he prayed, how he engaged with people. And if we can learn from him and do the same, then we will also be operating out of his authority. Empowered by the same Holy Spirit to do even greater things than Jesus himself did. So when we talk about having authority, it's the authority of Jesus, which he gives us by training us up, by empowering us with Holy Spirit. James, he wrote the passage that we've had read to us this morning. He wrote a whole letter. He was probably the brother of Jesus, born to Mary and Joseph after Jesus had been and raised in the same house as him, and probably he was either too young to leave the family home and follow Jesus during his years of ministry, or he just balked at the idea of his big brother, the perfect big brother, being a rabbi with a cult following, let alone the idea of him being the Messiah. I often wonder what it was that Mary and Joseph told the other children about Jesus. But it seems that after the death and resurrection of Jesus, James experienced a significant conversion and he quickly rose to be the leader of the church in Jerusalem, a respected man of God who emulated Jesus, who sat as the chair of the council in Jerusalem, the central body of respected and esteemed believers who would make decisions for the whole of the church as it grew out from Jerusalem and into the surrounding countries. James understands authority because he himself has received it and operates out of it, not proclaiming himself to be the leader through virtue of his genetic link to Jesus or because of his great skills and importance. James somehow, as we see from the way in which he writes his letter, simply continues to operate in the authority of Jesus through humble truth, through closeness to God, and continuing to do the ordinary things that Jesus had given him to do. He allows the wisdom of God to come in and make decisions. He never loses his touch with ordinary people and the coming to faith and the growing of the early church. Because he does these things in imitation of Jesus, he grows into that same authority that Jesus operated out of. And so as we read the whole book of James, which the Thursday morning ladies group are doing, when we read his letter, we find in it direct, clear, wise and humble authority. And so for ourselves, we also, as disciples of Jesus, need to be on that journey of learning to emulate and imitate him by coming near to him, allowing the Holy Spirit into our hearts and minds and lives and every relationship, every part of who we are, to shape us and build us up so that we are becoming the person that Jesus would be if he was living your life or my life. As we do that, we will grow in authority. We already have it. Jesus has given it to us. But if we want to grow in it, then we have to grow closer to Jesus and more like him in order that we would become more and more his authority on the earth. The question of who is quite a significant one. Who has authority? We've established that Jesus gave it to all of his disciples and that every single one of us has it in one measure or another. But James particularly identifies a process to help us know who and how it should be used. The early church was growing. Lots and lots of people were becoming Christians. Lots and lots of people needed help, and the church was trying to operate in such a way that they could do it. As that process was happening, the church needed leadership. And so those who were wise, those who were mature in faith, those who demonstrated Holy Spirit gifting and filling, were chosen by the community through prayer to become leaders. James calls them elders. And James says that these people are the ones who have particular authority when it comes to praying for spiritual attack in the form of sickness. In some way or other, this is similar and it replicates the way that Jesus appointed Peter to be the leader of the church in the very beginning and gave him particular authority over the world to speak blessing. Jesus says, when Peter declares that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah whom God had sent, Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, by your human understanding, but it was a spiritual revelation from the Father in heaven. And I tell you, Peter, you are the rock, and I will build my church on you. The gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on the earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on the earth will be loosed in heaven." There is this sense in which particular authority is given to those in leadership of the church. We all have it. Any one of us can pray. But James says, when there's something that's come up that's particularly difficult, seek out those people who are wise, experienced, mature in faith, full of Holy Spirit. Now it's important that we understand that sickness in itself is not spiritual attack. We live in a fallen world. It's broken. And all of us have to endure the consequences of sin in this world, which include disease, accident, old age. James. Many other forms of suffering. This is the human life that we lead on the earth while we're here for a little while. The authority that Jesus gives us is not to prevent all sickness and death, otherwise we would find eternity and heaven on earth right now. That's not what it's about. Jesus himself walked past many sick people in his lifetime. He didn't heal everybody just by looking at them with supernatural Superman eyes or anything else. He was operating in his humanity by listening, being close to God, and specifically going to the people that God wanted him to go to and work with. The people that Jesus did heal went on in time to die eventually. His disciples were told to expect persecution and suffering. Many of them did that, even unto death. The authority Jesus gives us is about freedom from the power of suffering and sickness. These are the ways in which Satan attempts to capture our hearts in his discouragement and despair, to shroud our spirits in his perception of death, that he would separate us from God. But the weapons of Satan are weak when met with the authority of Jesus. If we are struggling, if we are unwell, if there are things going on in our lives which are making us feel all of those terrible things, if we're coming under the attack of God's enemy, then we call on those who are wise and mature in faith. Those who've been identified by the church in leadership roles, but also those within our own family, those we know and trust and can see God's authority at work in them. We call them, we invite them to pray with us so that we can hear what God wants to say over who we are, over our security, our safety, our wholeness in him. Because the authority of Jesus is able to bring powerful freedom in the midst of trouble. Sometimes that freedom is freedom from the sickness itself. Sometimes the freedom is simply freedom from what Satan is trying to do through that sickness. So, the who and the how. Anyone can pray, all of us. We all have the authority of Jesus. But when we're going through particular times, it is good to seek after those who are wise, mature, spirit-filled, those experienced in praying for others, and those who have sought after a life which emulates Jesus in humble truth and godly character, because these are the markers of the authority of Jesus. So anointing, what's that about? Why? Oil was historically used for anointing purposes in biblical times. Aaron and the other Levites began using oil because it was part of the instructions for the rituals of worship while they were wandering around in the desert. There was the menorah lamp in the temple, which was the physical expression of God's presence. And it was permanently kept alight with olive oil being burnt. The seven candlesticks reminding those as they came in that for 7 days of the week, God's perfect number, that his presence and his power in all of creation was there. Oil also had a calming and healing properties that were understood in biblical times. And it was easily obtained, lots of olive trees around growing in that climate. It was used for cooking, for skincare, for light around the house. Oil itself was seen as a sign of God's blessing, his gift of many different things. And it was also closely linked to Jesus himself, because the word Messiah, Mashiach in Hebrew, means anointed one, appointed for a holy task, set aside, sacred. It was a helpful, tangible symbol for people who didn't read or write to see and feel God's presence and God's purpose, and to recognize that in others. And so oil remained an important part of what was seen as the expression of the authority of Jesus. James indicates it was an important continuation of that Jewish practice to use oil for anointing in prayer of those who were unwell or in need. This was not because the oil itself was going to have healing properties in that particular situation, although that might have helped. But it was done and encouraged by him to continue being done as an act of obedience and of faith, a marker that we are praying in the name of the Lord, in the name of Jesus. Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Anointed One is at work through this oil, not because the oil itself has special power, but because it's a tangible, physical way of feeling the power and authority of Jesus at work in us. Satan might try to convince us that sickness or struggle or suffering have us cornered, but the authority of Jesus says no. When we are prayed for and anointed with oil, again, we receive, we feel in our physical being a reminder that Jesus himself has broken the power of death, has broken the authority of Satan. He might speak those things over us, but they do not have any power. The oil reminds us that Jesus has won for us his freedom. Inwardly and outwardly. For Christians down the centuries, it's been a helpful and deeply moving way of being prayed for and covered in the authority of Jesus. Today, oil will be available during our prayer ministry at the back of church. James also encourages us to confess our sins to one another. This is an important part of the authority of Jesus. We receive it because we are honest with him and with one another about our brokenness and our need of God's forgiveness through Jesus. If we want the authority of Jesus to be at work in our lives and through us in our church family and further afield, then we cannot do it. We cannot operate in the authority of Jesus without humble, honest truth about ourselves as well as the world around us. And so he encourages confession to one another as part of the process of prayer. I want to summarise with these three applications. Sometimes the authority of Jesus is at work to teach us to accept what is happening in our lives, to meet Jesus in it and learn from him through it. Sometimes sickness and suffering and struggle are part of our lives, and God allows them to remain. But he does so that we become more mature in our faith, more dependent on him and his fatherly love for us. It also causes us to pray more. And the more we pray, the closer we come to God, the more we grow in the authority of Jesus through that suffering. So sometimes we simply need to receive what Jesus is teaching us and allow him to grow his authority that way in us. Sometimes the authority of Jesus leads us to a deeper knowledge of what God is doing, a clearer recognition of his voice. We hear it because we hear it more often. We have a stronger sense of Holy Spirit directing us, leading us, discernment about what God is wanting to say or to do. And prophetically, we're able to pray into situations that we know God is saying, this is what I want to do. Our prayers become more direct, more purposeful, and we will see more miraculous answers to those prayers as we move into the authority of Jesus and being aligned with the will of God, able to pray more and more powerfully with his authority. But it comes through that intimacy. Thirdly, the authority of Jesus also invites us into a relationship of loving kindness to those who are unwell or struggling. Often it is the ongoing prayers, friendship, support and love where we see character and faith growing in ourselves as well as in the other person. The authority of Jesus is not always about immediate results. The fruit of the Holy Spirit takes time to develop and grow and continue to bear more fruit. Authority of Jesus is always about relationship, both vertically and horizontally. And so whatever spiritual battles we are anticipating, or perhaps come up more often as surprises to us, we are encouraged today to seek more of the authority of Jesus in our prayer lives through our own discipleship, our own following, drawing near to him, growing more like him. Through our fellowship with one another. When things happen, call on each other. Call on me. Call on Jackie. Call on Paul. Call on others. Catherine. I could name all of you. Call on those people who are wise and mature and have authority. But fellowship also means that honesty with each other. Let's be real. Let's be truthful about what's going on in our lives, what the struggles are, where we know God is really challenging us. And let's be responsive to what James says about the anointing with oil and the name of Jesus. Let's do that with one another. Let's look for tangible ways in which we can really feel what God is doing, so that we might see the miracles of inner freedom and outer healing. But more importantly, so that we see more of Jesus himself in the midst of our battles. And then we will know where his authority is leading us.